Hello and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
I believe every man is born a hero, right? And I actually believe every man wants to be a hero. Every man who's ever lived wants to have purpose and meaning, wants to do something, wants to make a difference, and wants to make a legacy. And I believe every man here and every man who's listening to my voice, you want to make a difference. I've never met a man who says, you know, I want to do life, and when I look back, achieve nothing. Nobody, no man says that. And I want to speak into that this morning. Because I believe that you are a hero, and in God's sight, you are a hero. You created a hero. And as a church and as a people, we want to help you be that hero. And I think it begins with this thought, right? And I say this to everybody, to this thought, is that we need to presume men are heroes. That needs to be our default position, right? Now, I know not all men become heroes, okay? We know lots of disasters. But I think as a church, we can say, look, we believe that you are a hero, and we're going to help you become that hero, whether or not you feel like it, or whether or not your past means we should feel that way. See, because that's God's heart to you. That's God's heart to me. God believes that you are a hero. He's created you a hero. And he's committed to helping you become the hero that he made you to be in all the different areas that we are called to be heroes in. And I want to say to the girls in the house, especially the mums, girlfriends, the wives, that you need to believe in your men. Now, you see them at the worst, right? You mums, you know what your boys are like. You know their good things and their bad things. But mums, believe in your boys. Say, I believe that you are a hero and you will do heroic things in your life. And they will take that from you. And they will live in that for the rest of their lives. You know they're not perfect. I know they're not perfect. But let's believe them. You girlfriends and wives, believe in your men. You see, heroes go through tough times and tough things. And sure, they need to hear the whisper from God. If you're a Christian, you need to hear the whisper from God that you are a hero. We need that from God. But we also need to hear it from those women who are close to us. And I'm blessed with Michelle. Michelle's seen me in the good days and the bad days. And I have some of those, which I'm sure you all believe. And she's always been there, and she's always believed in who I am. She has done, and she still does. Sometimes through tears, gritted teeth, for sure. But she's always believed. And let's be those kind of people, the girls. Can you be those kind of people for the men in your life? Despite their attitude, despite what they're doing, saying, I still believe in you. I think it's just so important for each one of us. But I want to look at some heroes in the Bible. So if you have a Bible, why don't you turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 11. I have to say, every time I read this passage, I always feel inspired. It's such a great passage. For those of you Bible scholars or you're taking notes, there's a similar passage in 2 Samuel 23, which you can have a look at when you go home. But 1 Chronicles 11, and I want to read from verse 10. It's talking about King David and his mighty men, his heroes that he lists. There's almost 50 of them. Isn't that a lot? That's a lot. And I'm sure there's many more, but he lists almost 50. So verse 10, these were the chiefs of David's mighty men. They, together with all of Israel, gave his kingdom strong support to extend it over the whole land as the Lord had promised. This is a list of David's mighty men, i.e. David wrote it. And Jehobim, a Hochmonite, was chief of the officers. He raised his spear against 300 men whom he killed in one encounter. Bit of a interesting encounter. One spear, 300 men, all dead. Next to him was Eliezer, son of Dodiah, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men. I love this one. He was with David at Pas Damim when the Philistines gathered there for battle. At a place where there was a field full of barley, the troops fled from the Philistines.
But they, David and Eliezer, stood their ground in the middle of the field. I could just got this picture of these guys taking off the kind of archery stuff and sticking it in the ground and saying, whatever happens, we're not moving. We're just going to stay here, and whatever happens, either they'll have to come through us, but they're not, we're going to just stay here. And they must have looked at each other and gone, good call. And perhaps they were faced back to back and they kind of fought Lord of the Rings style, right? It's a real story. Real men. They took their stand in the middle of the field. They defended it and struck the Philistines down. And the Lord brought about a great victory. I suggest the rest of the Israelites caught up with them eventually and rescued them. 3 of the 30 chiefs came down to David to the rock at the cave of Adullam, while a band of Philistines were encamped in the valley of Rephaim. At that time, David was in the stronghold and the Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for water and said, oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem. So the 3 broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem and carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. God forbid that I should do this, he said. Should I drink the blood of these men who went at the risk of their lives? Because they risked their lives to bring it back, David would not drink it. Such were the exploits of the 3 mighty men. And then the list goes on, and they kill Egyptians and strike down Moabites and do all sorts of amazing things. And then eventually the stories stop and the list is just listed of David's mighty men. Now, this is obviously about warriors. I suspect most of us, all of us in this room, are not going to be warriors. We kind of hope so, right? We kind of hope there's no wars around the corner that some of our men have to go and fight. But actually, we're called to be heroes in every sphere of our life. We're called to be heroes, guys, in our families and at work. We're called to be heroes in politics or in sport. We're called to be heroes in art or in music. Whatever the sphere of life God calls us to, God asks us to be heroes. And I want to talk about 4 traits that I think, men, we should be. Girls, you should help us become these things. You should encourage us and build us up so that we can become these 4 things. These 4 things, I think, these mighty men showed us. And I think, guys, if we can become them or become more like them, I think we can be heroes and we can make a difference and leave a legacy behind us. You see, this morning I want to talk about the fact that every man is a hero. Every man is born a hero. And tonight I'm going to talk about every man is born to create heroes. And so this morning I want to talk about us, and tonight I'm going to talk about actually how we need to raise a new generation. I just want to let you know that so you can listen to it on the podcast if you can't make it tonight, or you can come tonight. So these 4 traits in 12 minutes. First one is courage. These men had courage. Remember, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is doing the right thing when you're fearful. The thing about heroes is, it's not that they're not scared. They are scared. You see, there's nothing wrong in being scared. It's kind of normal. It's kind of obvious if you're facing an enemy that's attacking you and you're not scared, you're kind of foolish, right? It's like, where did your brain go? It's dangerous, life-threatening. But courage is saying, I will still stand for what is right. It is courage, actually, in essence, it's risking your life for a cause. It's risking your life for a cause. For these men in this scripture here, the cause was the Israelite nation, for the protection of it and for the building up of it. That was the cause they were fighting for. You see, if you're a man, women as well, actually, but it's all about men. If you're a man, you need a cause for your life to be built upon. You can only have courage if you have a cause. If you have no cause, you have nothing to be courageous for. And men, you need to discover what your cause is. What's your cause? If you're a dad, in one sense, the cause is your family, right? If you have a work, part of your cause is making sure work goes well. And there's other causes. I want to suggest the biggest cause, the main cause in every Christian's life, every man who's a Christian, your cause is Jesus and building his kingdom up. That's your main cause. That's your chief cause. And if you read the New Testament, you'll see that Jesus says over and over again, I'm going to quote Luke 14:26.
It says all over the place that we should lay down our lives for him, for the cause. We need to have courage for the cause of Jesus. But for most of you, that's kind of too big and too kind of out there. Within the cause of Christ, each one of you need to know what God has called you to have a particular cause about. I have a cause called Valley Church, right? I'm committed to it. I will lay down my life for the cause of building this part of God's kingdom. Why? Because God's called me to do it. And within that, there's a couple of causes that are very close to my heart. I love young people. If you mess with the youth, you mess with me. Because I believe in them and I believe in who they are and their potential and their future. I don't care their background or what they have or haven't done. I believe that they can do incredible things in their life. I also believe in leadership. And I love training leaders and believing in leaders. You mess with leaders around here, you mess with me. Because I believe in them and their potential and their future. And how then they can make a difference both here and in the wider world. Because some of the leaders here are in the wider world and need to be heroes out there and lead out there. And for each one of you, you need the cause of Jesus to be in your heart. And then if you're a Christian, you need to figure out what that look like here. What's that look like in the kingdom of God? What's a particular cause within the cause that you're going to give your life towards? Because if you don't discover it, you never really become the hero. Because you won't have a cause to give your life to. Obviously, that applies to the girls as well, right? But I'm talking to men this morning. We need to have a cause to live and die for, a passion in our lives. The second word is loyalty. Loyalty. And this is a biblical word. In our present kind of culture, people struggle with it because of what it implies. You see, these mighty men weren't just committed to a cause, were they? The cause of Israel. Because that's kind of big and fat. And we get that. Right, committed to Jesus and the kingdom of God, we get that's kind of big. They were also committed to a man called David. When some of them first met David, he was an outlaw. He wasn't even king. He was an outlaw. Officially, he was a bad guy. He was right in the middle of God's will, right? And they could see that and wanted to follow him. But they were committed. If we're going to be heroes, we need to be loyal. We need to be loyal. I mean, David was loyal to Israel and to his God. That was his loyalty. And everybody needs to be loyal to somebody. Even kings are loyal to something. But every hero, I believe, needs to be loyal to a person if they're going to be the hero. You see, without loyalty to somebody, we become selfish and self-centered. And guys, that's the opposite of what Jesus wants us to be. And this modern culture says, don't be loyal to anybody but yourself or your family. The Bible says you need to be loyal to those that God has put over them, over you, as well as to him. It talks about both and not either or. And I just want to say, as your pastor, as your friend, if you're going to become the hero that God wants you to become and you've been created to be, you need to be loyal to a person as well. And I would do you a disservice if I didn't tell you, because I could easily. I kind of read it through a few times this morning. Shall I say it or shall I not? Because it's tricky, right? It's not culturally savvy. Some of you will struggle with it. But that is what the Bible teaches, that we need to be loyal to those that God puts over us. If we're going to become the heroes and fulfill our full potential, we need to be loyal to a person. To, in this case, to King David. Now, King David wasn't perfect, was he? King David made lots of mistakes. King David was a murderer and adulterer. He was a terrible father. It was so bad that his kids rebelled against him and wanted him dead and wanted to take over the throne. That's how good a daddy was. But these men were still loyal to him because they recognized something of God in his ministry and in his life and in his kingship. You see, being loyal to a man does not mean you need to say, well, they're perfect and I need to accept everything they do. That's not what loyalty is. Lord Jesus, I'm going to be under you and build you up and help you to become the most amazing leader possible, because through that, I become the most amazing thing. As most of you know, we love the Hillsong Church. And I was once listening to one of their pastors talk, a guy called Robert Ferguson, who's a fantastic communicator, amazing communicator, and a great leader, leads the kind of the teaching ministry within the Hillsong Church, or at least part of it. And he was just teaching. He was saying, "Look, church," he said, "I believe that, you know, I could probably build a church for 1,000. I think I'd be good at that. I could lead a church of 1,000. I could be the king of 1,000 people. Cool, right? Great man, fantastic. It's probably right as well. He was very good. For those of you who've heard of him or know him, you know, yeah, he was good. He was good." But he said, "I have decided to serve another. Because when I serve another, I get to teach tens of thousands. I get my full potential is released as I serve another." And this man understood that loyalty to another is not weakness. It actually helps you fulfill your full potential. And guys, sure, you need to pick your leaders wisely, for sure. But you need to pick your leaders and say, "I will follow you," because under their ministry, under their leadership, you will realize and your full potential will be released. Like I say, it's not particularly culturally kind of there, but I believe it's truth. And I'm committed to speaking the truth. Right, the third thing is this. This is a bit more. Heroes, they fight despite the odds. They fight despite the odds. David and Eleazar, they stood in the barley field while the whole might of the Philistine army was approaching them. And the odds said, "You're an idiot. You're an idiot." That's why the rest of the Israelite army ran away. The whole of the Israelite army decided that the Philistine army was too powerful, so they all ran away, apart from two men who decided the rest of the Israelite army was wrong, and they were going to stand anyway, which reduced their odds of survival massively, right? At least if everybody had been there, everybody's odds were a bit higher, but there's just two of them left. And they fought despite the odds. And that's what heroes do. Heroes look around and say, "I'm not moving from here. Not because anybody else is with me, because it's the right thing to do." It's the right thing to do. And I think all of us get ourselves in positions like that. It could be in our work situations where everybody else is doing one thing and you go, "I know everybody else is doing that, but it's wrong. This is right. And I know the odds are stacked against me. This is going to go well, but I'm going to still stand and fight for truth and justice." It might not be work. It might be in the playground. It could be at school. It could be in the sports field. It could be anywhere. It could even be a cause that God places on your heart where the odds of you succeeding or doing anything successful seem so small. But it doesn't matter. I'm still going to stand and fight because this is the right thing to do. That's what heroes do. They know what's right and they stand. Each year we celebrate and honor the soldiers and sailors and airmen who've died over the years to protect our nation. And we hope desperately never to have to do it. But guys, God still calls you to be a hero like the war people that we remember. The situation's different. The cost is not as great. But let that not stop us from actually doing what the heroes of old did. And standing and saying, I'm still going to do what I'm right. You see, in the Second World War, millions of soldiers died protecting their homes, but also making sure that all the Jews in our country were never under the Nazi rule, so they were never taken away and slaughtered. It wasn't just about their families. It was about everything. And if we're going to truly represent Jesus Christ, guys, here on earth, we need to, from time to time, stand up for causes. It's why we support A21, which is against modern day slavery. Because it's a cause worth fighting for, because it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong that girls should end up in places like that. It's wrong that some of the guys get traded for work. It's wrong. And as a church would say, it's wrong. We're gonna stand up and say no. And there's other things that God might give you a passion, which we might adopt as a church, we might not, but God still calls you and asks you to stand up for them. Does that make sense? Guys, just because the odds are against us, remember, always remember, God is with us. Guys in Blackpool and Lancaster, remember, God is with you. Whatever he calls you to, God is with you. You see, the greatest victories are not won when all is well, when the odds are good, Rather, the greatest victories are won when the chips are down, the odds look bad, and yet God comes through. Anyway, that's a hero. A hero. They fight even when the odds don't look good. And finally, the fourth word. Heroes belong. They belong to a tribe. They belong to a family. They belong to a unit. They never do it on their own. You see, today's mighty men in this passage, it kind of highlights hero moments. But most of the time, they fought together, right? They weren't normally on their own because that would be stupid. And they weren't stupid. They're mighty men and heroes, but they weren't stupid. Most of the time, they fought together. They fought as a unit or many units. I suspect they led groups and together. I can imagine that of all the units across the battlefield, that these mighty men would be the ones at the front. And they would, as they went and gone, they would all look at each other and go, together, we're going that way. And as mighty men, they would lead a whole host together. And heroes realize that they're actually not fighting on their own, but fighting with others. Others who love them and support them. And guys, let's be heroes that support other heroes. Never on our own, always together. Always loving each other and believing each other and encouraging each other. And when somebody's got a fight, we say, well, I'll line myself up with my troops next to your troops and we'll go together. So the moments that we're on our own are few and far between. There are moments when we need to be on our own and fight and be courageous. But mostly our courage is done together. It's done together. And guys, let's fight together. Let's share our causes. Let's share our passions. Let's not be isolated. Because guys are great being isolated, aren't we? Fighting our own fights. Our own wars. This is me. Be the world. But you don't need to do that. Don't need to do that. There's a whole host of people in this room. If you will just share, I've got this cause. I've got this thing I need to stand up for. We'll go, we're with you. How can we help? What can we do? Can I bring my troops with your troops? And we'll go and take this thing together because we believe in you and we'll help you be the mighty man, the hero that God has created and born you to be. Let's do it together. Every man, I believe, is born to be a hero, to have purpose and meaning, to build something of significance and to leave a legacy. Courage, loyalty, fighting the odds, and belonging together.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.